Hello and welcome to the Reuters Champions League podcast, where it's jewellery rattling time again, with the two most successful sides in European history set for a rematch at the San Siro. Mark Meadows joining us on the line from Milan. Are we in for another one-sided contest?
I think we are, I'm afraid, yes, because since that defeat at the Bernabeu, Milan haven't done very well at all. Lost 2-1 at the weekend at home to Juventus. The coach, Massimiliano Allegri, has said they've got a problem with the big games. They're not sure why they're not winning these big games, and might sound strange, but Real are probably the favourites, even though Real have never actually won at the San Siro in their history. Obviously, Ronaldo's in red hot form, while Milan strikers, apart from Ibrahimovic, aren't so much. It looks like Ronaldinho will be back after missing two games with a thigh injury, but he's not the player he was, and I think most people, even Milan fans, are expecting Real to do well again.
Okay. Ronaldinho recalled to the Brazil squad at the end of last week. What was that all about? I didn't realise he was in quite such breathtaking form.
He's not been in breathtaking form at all. I think what was breathtaking was his recall for many people. I mean, obviously he's never going to be the player he was at Barcelona. That was his big purple patch. He's obviously had fitness problems since then. You know, he doesn't drop the shoulder like he used to do. He hasn't really got much pace. He can still pick a pass, but he's not been amazing so far this season at all. Robinho is there pressuring him for his place in the side, and there's even been people saying, you know, would Milan actually be better without Ronaldinho in the side? Robinho, the last two games, hasn't played well, so maybe we'll see Ronaldinho definitely come back in, but, you know, the magic clearly isn't what it was.
OK, Hispanophile Owen Wyatt, Real Madrid have improved markedly from the start of the season. Mark seems to think that they're favourites going into this one. I mean, they should win comfortably, shouldn't they?
They should. At the weekend, they were 1-0 down away at the kind of La Liga upstarts, Hercules. David Trezeguet getting a goal again to give Hercules the lead. But Madrid came back. Ronaldo got two goals. And what I've noticed about this Madrid side that is very, very difficult for teams to counteract is that they're able to just apply the pressure. They can just go up a couple of gears, mainly with Ronaldo driving the play forward, but also Di Maria down the right-hand side. When he starts getting into play, they can really spread it. So you've got Ronaldo coming at you down the left, Di Maria down the right, Higuain poaching in the box. They can just step it up again and again and again, and the goals seem to come. And once they do, there's no way back for the opposition. I think things are really, really, really clicking. I find it hard to look past them now for the Champions League. They're my favourites for the trophy.
Yes, OK. John Bramley, are they the favourites, worthy favourites?
Well, I think they are. I was just going to ask Owen if he sees any weaknesses in that side, because looking through the lineup from the goalkeeper right through, with Casillas in goal, they look absolutely fantastic. Power packed all the way through.
Yeah, and a player like Pepe, who had the potential to lose his way a little bit under previous management. Mourinho seems to have got a grip on him. He is a very, very good centre-back. There's no doubt about it. He commands the air. He can direct play. He's good with the ball at his feet. But like we've seen in the past, you know, with the amount of unsettled and uncertain players at Madrid, he was one of these ones who couldn't keep his head together when it mattered, getting sent off in big games, etc. But Mourinho seems to have really brought that back four together. They're organised, but at the same time, they can just go at you, you know?
But anyway, OK, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. That game's on Wednesday in Group G. Before we get there, we do have the small matter of four groups playing tonight on Tuesday night. Group A, Tottenham v Inter Milan. Tottenham fought back well last time, but a case of too little, too late, Martin Herman. Another defeat, it might actually start to get difficult for Tottenham in this group.
I think probably in the San Siro was probably a bit of a wake-up call for Tottenham. They had Werder Bremen in the first game, which was their debut in the Champions League group stage, and then FC 20 at home, where Van der Vaart was
outstanding. Yeah, it was too good for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was too good, basically. But that was obviously it was a step up against Inter. Mm. They were 4-0 down after, I think, half an hour. So I think that in the good sense that they will learn a lot from that game, and Harry Redknapp will set Tottenham up very, very attack-minded tonight. And Tottenham have probably got the security of already having 4 points in the bag. So it wouldn't be the end of the world if they did lose tonight. Obviously, it depends very much on what happens in the other fixture. But I think they can actually go for the win, and with the knowledge that if they did lose, they've still got winnable games, two more winnable games to come in the group. So certainly not all lost if they did lose.
Okay, Mark Meadows, is that what people are? Is that how people see the game out in Italy? Do they expect Tottenham to go for it? Is there a kind of newfound respect for Tottenham a little bit after that comeback, or was it really a bit irrelevant?
Well, there's newfound respect for Bale, maybe not for the rest of the Tottenham team. I think Inter is very worried by their injuries. I mean, obviously Benitez was talking last night trying to say it's not my fault that we've had these 15 muscle injuries since the start of the season when Mourinho didn't seem to get any. I've just been speaking to a couple of medical experts here in Italy who are saying it's clearly too much training going on between games. When you're playing three games in a week, you've just got to play and then not train at all. So that's got people worried here, that they think, well, you know, there's no Julio Cesar, there's no Cambiasso, every week it's a different team, and maybe with the pace and power that Tottenham have, they can struggle tonight.
Inter Milan there for the taking.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I think that Spurs still have their weaknesses at the back, and as we saw at the San Siro last time, Inter are still very capable of exposing that. Having said that, as Martin says, Spurs finished on a complete high. I'm interested for Mark. I mean, how much interest is there in Gareth Bale? I saw that the Gazetta was talking about him possibly being a target for Inter.
Yeah, I mean, Inter and Milan have tracked him ever since he came on the scene, really. I suppose when you're left-footed, everyone's interested when you're young. Moratti was making a few jokes that, well, now he's done that, there's nowhere we can buy him because, you know, he'd cost way too much. And Redknapp was very adamant after that game that there's no way Tottenham can even consider selling him if they want to be a Champions League team in the future, not just for this one season. And, yeah, given that they'll probably shove a few notes on the end of the amount, I'm not sure anyone will be tempted at this stage to make a bid, certainly not in January. But, you know, if Tottenham maybe only finish fifth or sixth this year and he wants to have his league again next year, then they might have to review it.
OK, with apologies to Lyon, Benfica, Schalke and Hapoel, we'll probably skip Group B and have a look at Group C. Manchester United, 7 points from three games, away to Bursaspor. Now, Bursaspor have lost their last seven European games without scoring, our stats people tell us. They're the sort of team that give the Champions League a bad name, aren't they, Martin Herman?
There's an argument that there are some fairly average sides in there. I was at Arsenal. I've covered a lot of the Arsenal games, and some of their home games have just been processions, really. Braga.
Last week was Shakhtar, is that
Braga
right?
Braga was the first one. Shakhtar, Donetsk, another team with a big reputation, but they didn't turn up at all. And the opposition was, I would argue, wasn't even of a mid-table Premier League standard. Really, Arsenal have far more trouble against mid-table Premier League sides. So, but I think, you know, you don't just want to have a competition with the usual suspects all playing each other. So I think they add something. But Man U should have far too much for them. I'm sure they'll get the win that they need.
Yeah, Mark Meadows, I mean, where do you stand on that? Do you think that Platini has got it right with making it easier for some of the champions from the smaller leagues to get through, and thus perhaps meaning that we do have a few weaker teams than we've had in the past in the competition? Is it about right, or has it gone too far?
I think it's about right. I mean, look, Bursaspor finished above Galatasaray, Fenerbahce and Beşiktaş in the Turkish league. They deserve to be there. But given, you know, the history of Turkish football, the Turkish champions should go straight into the Champions League. You know, it's always going to be a balance, but you can't just have all the big teams in. You've got to give some people a chance because the teams will never grow and you'll never get the shock results that we've had in the past, like Porto winning or Monaco getting to the final.
OK, so going back to Group G, that group with Real Madrid and Milan in there, we have Ajax Amsterdam waiting to pick up the pieces against Auxerre. Ajax got a good chance there, haven't they?
I think, yeah, there's two things to highlight from this. One is Martin Jol's performance as Ajax manager. He has managed to keep them in contention in the Champions League. They're pushing towards the top of the Dutch League. You know, Jol is a highly rated coach. And I think, you know, going forward, if there are any shifts at the top clubs in Europe, he's someone that people are going to have a look at. He left Spurs fairly acrimoniously, went to Hamburg, did a solid job with them. And, you know, Ajax have not been in the mix in the Champions League for a while now. And to keep them in there, and I can see...
Louis van Gaal days.
Exactly. I can see Real beating Milan tonight, and I think Ajax will be in there. And a lot of that has to do with the play of Luis Suarez, who is a player that I do not expect to be sticking around in the Dutch league for too long. Someone is going to have to come along for him sooner or later. Because a team like Liverpool, for example, he could add so much to them right now. You know, if John Henry's cash is going to go anywhere, they've got to have a look at him. You know, dynamic, great runner, good with his head. You know, he's a phenomenal player. And all due respect to the Dutch League, I think a few clubs have got to be having a look at him. Maybe even come in for him in January.
OK, well, that's given us a topic of conversation for a future podcast, perhaps, some of the players who've been in the shop window. For now, I thought I'd just leave you with a quote of the week. Can anyone guess what my quote of the week might be this week?
Benitez.
Rafa Benitez, what did he say, John Bradley?
He talked about...
Mr. Hodgson.
Mr. Hodgson not being able to differentiate a priest, I think, from a pile of salt, was it? Or sugar.
Sugar. Sugar. Sorry. Sugar. Yeah. We had the best brains in Spain work on that. No one could quite work out what he meant. Mark Meadows in Italian, would that make any sense?
It doesn't make any sense in any language, I don't think.
Okay, it actually wasn't my quote of the week. My quote of the week was going to be from Yuri Zirkov, who gave this revelation about the Chelsea dressing room. He said, "My English is good enough for social conversation, and football players' jokes are rarely based on fine wordplay, more so on gestures and actions." And with that revelation that the Chelsea dressing room is not quite the Algonquin round table, I'll say thank you very much to Martin Herman, John Bramley, Owen Wyatt, and over the line, Mark Meadows. Thanks very much indeed. Bye-bye.